Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from sunny Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, where the sun is actually starting to come up now. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 2nd, 2010, episode 24, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic, the cutest little donkey, you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be, because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la.
There, I thought I'd change it up a little for you.
Where do you find this ridiculous music? I mean, that is no Templeton Thompson song right there, okay? What is that?
I thought you'd never heard Dominic the Donkey?
Why would I have heard Dominic the Donkey? No, I've never heard it.
You've been in radio. Oh, it's popular. You've been in radio for 88 years, never heard Dominic the Donkey. Dominic the Donkey actually is a well-known symbol of Christmas in Italy, and they wrote this song about it, and it's just kind of a silly, stupid song. And I thought it was as far away as, from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra as I could possibly get, so you didn't have to listen to TSO again this morning.
And how was that show last night?
Oh, it was great. We had a fantastic time, as good as ever. It's the only concert I've ever been to where you got flames and fire coming out of all parts of the arena, and then they had a actual fireworks display indoors at the end of the show. It's pretty incredible. Very loud. I can barely hear you this morning, but it was definitely where we had great seats. We were about 20 feet from the stage.
Wow.
And you know, they were actually really good seats because we could really see all the lasers and all that stuff going on. They had these huge catwalks that were going along the top of the ceilings, and we were wondering what they were going to do with the catwalks. They went about halfway out into the audience, and about halfway through the show, the catwalks descended down, and the performers catwalks, and they raised them up, and the performers were performing over the audience. It was really cool. It was a great show.
Good. Wow. Well, that's good. Did it get you more in the holiday spirit?
Oh, yes, that's the highlight of my year. I love going to that concert. Once a year, it just sort of gets me in the mood for the holidays. We haven't decorated yet. Have you guys decorated yet?
No, we're supposed to be getting our tree either today or tomorrow. We don't go crazy with the decorations simply because we really don't have that many, being, you know, newlyweds and really, for the most part, we haven't had Christmas at one of our houses, his house or my house, yet. So this is the first Christmas that we're going to actually be here. My family is going to come, and I think his brother and them are going to come as well. So we will try to get the tree sooner rather than later because my husband is flying to Pakistan on Tuesday. So he will be heading out for a couple weeks. He'll be back in time for Christmas, but we wanted to enjoy the tree together at least this weekend before he leaves.
So he's only gone for a couple weeks. That's a good thing. I was afraid you were going to say he was got deployed for 6 months or something.
No, my gosh, that would be uncool. But, no, they'll get him back in time for Christmas, so they'll be flying some F-16s over to Pakistan. So we will enjoy the tree while we can, for sure, but no major decorations here. I did have a little bit of fun at the farm yesterday. You know, he was at work, and so I decided I'm going to sweep the house. And, you know, when you live on a farm, especially in the desert, you have a really big problem with dust. So I have to sweep the house all the time. And so I had the we have these French doors that open up, and I was sweeping out the French doors, Clint. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud squawking because we have chickens in the backyard. And my chickens came barreling through the French doors into my kitchen, through my kitchen, into my living room, and they ran behind my couch in the living room, all four of them. And I was like, what are you guys doing? I mean, there's just four of them, and they just came running in like, Mama, Mama, Mama. And I went outside. We have new neighbors that moved in about a week ago, and their dog got out, and we're chasing my chickens. And what did my chickens do? They come running directly into my house. At the same time, I had the doors open and was sweeping. So they're all okay. Nobody got hurt. But I did have a serious talk with the neighbors about maybe keeping their dog on a leash.
And then you had to clean up the living room.
Yes, because when they're scared, they also do other things.
Yes, they do. I remember that from having chickens.
Yeah, so exciting day here at Flyover Farms yesterday, but everybody's okay. Everybody's back in their coops, and everybody's happy.
So did Chad walk out of the bedroom at that particular moment and go, no, the chickens are not allowed in the house?
I'm sure he would have thought I did it on purpose had he been here, but he wasn't here, thank goodness. And I did mention it to him that we did have some ladies come in the house to hang out for a little while.
All right, well, let's talk about what's coming up on today's show. We have some fun stuff today, one of our favorite guests, and Jennifer will tell us a little bit. And Jennifer, don't give away the secret here.
So I won't give away the secret.
We're gonna be... Okay.
I won't give away the secret. can you hear me okay, Glenn?
Yes, you're good. Yep.
Okay. Well, you got quiet there on me. That's unusual for you.
I know, and that's something I don't do very often.
It's not something you ever do. Stopping by this morning, we have Reese Koestler Stanfield with her once-a-month visit with another awesome recipe for us horse folks. It's a holiday favorite, but I'm willing to bet most of our listeners have never had it. So stay tuned to find out what it is, a little bit of a surprise. And staying with the holiday theme, we'll be talking with Bill Justice about the ultimate holiday gift. And we are talking epic gift here, so don't go away.
Yeah, if you want to find out what
no
the
object.
That's right. If you want to find out what the ultimate holiday gift for a horse lover is, we will have that coming up a little later in the show. So stay tuned for that. It's something that all of us. I would just want to take the opportunity to see it in person, if nothing else. That would be fun for me, for sure. And I think that leads us into what we want to talk about today, doesn't it, Jamie?
It does. We want to hear from you guys at 347-637-3238. Is what is your ultimate holiday gift? We're talking your ultimate horsey holiday gift, no expense spared. You can spend whatever you want. What is that one thing? And I know that horse people have it, too, because there is one thing that I want to do so bad before I die and want to have before I die. It's on my bucket list of horse ownership. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well after you hear about, well, this is really, I mean, one of Glenn's ultimate holiday gifts that we're going to talk to Bill Justice about. So it'll be interesting to see, and then you'll have to find the link. We'll put it on Facebook just as we're talking to him so you can kind of follow along and see exactly the ridiculousness of what we're talking about.
That about describes it, too. And I wanted to thank everybody for yesterday. They posted a bunch of stuff on Facebook. There were some things we're going to talk about later in the show that were posted on Facebook that related to our horse husband conversations. So we'll be getting to that. And I wanted to, if we have a minute here, Jamie, I wanted to read you an email that I got yesterday related to yesterday's show. He says, this is from John in Maryland, says, "Hey, Glenn, Jamie, and Jennifer. I'm a horse husband of a dressage queen, and we have a boarding training farm in southern Maryland on the Tidewater. I have written before to the 2010 program, which prepared me well for our trip to WEG. I got up every morning at 4 a.m. to start my farm chores with my best buds, Oliver the Corgi and Finnegan, my Jack Russell Terrier." By the way, terrific names for both of them. Who I rescued from death row at the animal shelter and is my true soulmate, plus you three in my earbuds. Well, that's nice to say. What a treat it is to have you with me in the morning. I've enjoyed many topics discussed and often catch myself talking to you all, maybe giving my version of what it makes or what of what makes a real horse husband versus the pretender, something like that. However, the one topic that touched me the most recently was the discussion of what I would do if I won the lottery. For so many reasons that I won't go into now, I feel so blessed to share my life with a passionate horsewoman, but most of all, when I stop my farm work and go into our arena and watch my gifted wife doing what she was born to do, and that's ride. I don't need the money, for I have more than any lottery money could provide. Keep it coming, John S." Well, thank you, John, and that's very sweet.
What that a sweetheart.
Okay,
that
my
woman
question.
Better know. What?
John, what did you screw up that you're trying to get those brownie points?
Well, he also has a PS on here for Jennifer. He says, I think we have, actually. He says, "Please check out Enter at A, Laughing by Brian McEwen. It's a funny book about the dressage world."
It is. We've read that. It's hilarious.
Yes,
well,
that
I
is,
think
that'd
it was perfectly. I think it was perfectly appropriate that the dressage guy had a Jack Russell and a Corgi. I mean, do you get any more dressage doggy than that?
Well, you know, he was very kind. He wrote to us, I remember, back when we were doing the 2010 show, that he listened to every episode of the 2010 show so he could get ready and be more knowledgeable when he came to the World Equestrian Games. So that was kind of neat, too. So there's another horse husband out there. So we're the ranks are growing every day. You know, if you want to, I think you should have the show on today, the recorded version or live, when your horse husband is around, and have him accidentally be hearing it when we talk about the ultimate Christmas gift today. You want him to be hearing this. And the other thing is, wouldn't you guys say that this is a good show for horse husbands to listen to? It's, you know, we just have fun here. I think any horse husband would enjoy this show as well. So turn your horse husbands on to it also.
Absolutely. Glenn needs some help. He needs all the help he can get, actually.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I believe we have a first guest on the line, Glenn. Reese Koffler Stanfield is a dressage rider, Grand Prix dressage rider, and I do have a dressage question for her at the end of the segment, and just see if she's ever done anything like this before. But I want to talk to her. She is a master chef. We say master chef, but she's cooking for her horse husband in the attic of her barn, basically, every single night. And she's going to come on and talk to us about what recipes she's making for him. So, hey, Reese, how are you?
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
But the master chef, way too much. Last night I got a little distracted while making grilled cheese and burnt it, so I don't think I can be considered a master chef.
Oh, no.
Yeah, don't walk away from the grilled cheese. That was the lesson I learned.
Yeah, and here's as a wife for the first year, too. Don't, when you're going to make tacos, don't put the taco shells in the oven to warm them on broil. Because, same thing.
See?
Fire.
Yep. These
big
little
fire.
Things, they just, you know, they resonate, you know. You learn from them every time.
Now, did he eat it? Did he eat the burned grilled cheese, or did you start over?
I promise it's such the great horse husband. It wasn't past, it was pretty darn close to the point of no eating, but he was so sweet. He said, "Don't worry about it. It was so cold here yesterday, and all I was just trying to get some, soup and grilled cheese on the table, and then that was the end of me for the evening." So I think he just felt bad. So he just ate it. God bless him.
I love it. I love it.
Well,
so
you know,
what
grilled,
is the rest? Go ahead.
Hold on a second. I wanted to say grilled cheese and soup is one of those comfort foods that when we would come in from the cold barn and when we had our farm in Pennsylvania and taking care of all those horses and everything, you know, it sounds so simple, but for some reason on a cold night, it tastes so darn good.
It does. And Glenn, I think you know, it was snowing here yesterday. It was just, it was the 1st of December in Kentucky, and it was blowing and just really cold yesterday. So, you know, here we were riding out there.
It has to be tomato soup, though, doesn't it, Reese?
Well, you know, I made potato, but I would have gone tomato, but honestly, I didn't have it in the cupboard. So a note to self, next time I go grocery shopping, make sure I have some tomato soup in there.
I think it's just required. It's like a thing, you know, they go together.
It is. They do. I had potato soup in the cupboard. And again, I was not going out last night for anything, for sure.
Now, I got to ask you, though, are you a dunker? Do you dunk your cheese sandwich, your grilled cheese sandwich in the tomato soup or not?
Yeah, I'm a dunker. So is Travis. It is, you know, all bets off when we're home and you know, not that we don't have manners, but yeah, we go for it. We're dunkers. And you can if you want to get really crazy, you can cut your, you know, grilled cheese up in little squares and make little croutons for your tomato soup.
That's crazy.
Oh, you know, I never did that before. That'd be
yes,
a good idea.
That's pretty good. You do like little croutons. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Either,
that's it for her segment this morning. It's been nice to talk to you, Reese.
That's the croutons and the tomato soup. Yes, I sound really great. For sure.
So, Reese, talk to us a little bit about your recipe today, because I have definitely heard of this. I have never, ever attempted to make it. And just kind of reading over the ingredients of the pudding part of it sounds kind of weird.
Yeah,
but
it does.
A holiday favorite.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when I was sitting around, you know, thinking about what recipe am I going to make, and somebody said, you should do what you have for Christmas. And I was like, that's actually not a bad idea, because it is our favorite meal of the year. And Jamie, I have to be honest, I was like, oh, there is zero vegetarian option for this. So think of that. This is not a vegetarian meal, but the Koffler clan, not visiting, we have no vegetarians. So that's sort of why I chose this recipe. I talked to my mom. I called Mama Kay up. And I said, Mom, I need a copy of that recipe and how you make it. And actually, I made my first Christmas roast beef and Yorkshire pudding last Christmas when I was in Florida. Travis and my mother-in-law came down, and we were in my little apartment making the Christmas dinner, and it was still great. But I like it even better when my mom makes it, because it's an intense little process. But really simple, actually. Basically, you know, you take a 3-pound roast of roast beef, or sirloin, or top round, whatever is the best cut. My mom actually goes for Christmas. She goes and gets a special cut of meat, and she says it's her gift to us, and it is good. Basically, you put your oven to 500 degrees, and you season your meat with salt and pepper, and you place it in a small roasting pan, and you sear the roast for 15 minutes. So you just basically put it in the oven really hot, seals in kind of all the juices. You can also do this on the stovetop. You just take a pan and put a little olive oil in and salt and pepper, and then just put the meat on each side for a few minutes until it's kind of, you know, brown on the outside. And that kind of makes it really yummy. Again, not for the vegetarian of the group, but kind of seals it in. And then you reduce the temperature in the oven to 350 degrees, and you roast your meat for your desired temperature. Depends, you know, on the how many pounds and that type of thing. They're great. A lot of cookbooks can tell you how long to put it in there for, and you can use a meat thermometer to figure out how you like it, you know, your doneness. I'm a little bit more done. You know, I like to not have it rare.
you don't want it bloody?
Different. No, not a bloody steak kind of girl, but lovely steak. And then about a half an hour before your roast is done, this is when you start making the Yorkshire pudding. And it does sound a little interesting, but it's, I can't tell you, it is so good. And we all look forward to it for Christmas. This is a meal you could only have once a year because it's not good for you. but really good. Right, that's what we say, one time a year and that's it. So about a half an hour before, that's when you start to make your Yorkshire pudding. And you sift the flour and salt in a bowl. I have a little kind of, it's not very big, it's a little sifter. If you don't have a sifter, just stir it really well. It's okay. It makes the batter a little lighter if you sift it. And then you take your little mixer and you make a little well in the center, a little divot in the center. And that's when you break your egg into it. And then you add a little milk and you beat your batter until it's smooth. And that's the tricky part. You don't want to beat it too much. As I learned, I think when I made it for the first time, I did too much beating. But you just want to keep, it becomes kind of smooth and it's not really a really firm batter. It's you know, kind of liquidy. And then you have to let it rest. That's the key that I didn't do very well. I got a little impatient. Got to rest for at least 15 minutes. Just put it to the side and leave it alone. Do something else. There's something else for Christmas. You know, we have, we always have green beans and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes, which are my favorite. So there are other things to be making. Let it sit. Now, this is the not good for you part, but this is the really good part. You take the 4 tablespoons of the drippings from the roast and you put it in a muffin tin. And you or you can put it in a muffin tin or just a shallow 9x9 pan. I actually like the 9x9 pan better, but if you want your individual pudding, you can do that. And you just heat the drippings of fat till it's sizzling, and then you pour the batter in, and it kind of makes a sizzle sound. It's cool. And you put it in the oven for about 15 minutes for the individual muffin tins, or about 30 minutes for the other dish, the 9x9. And it rises. It's one of those really cool things that goes up. And I don't know how that works. I don't get the science behind it, but it is great. And you can let it go up, and then when you pull it out of the oven, it's one of those you got to be ready to see the cool puffiness because it falls before you get to the table. And then you cut it into squares, and you put it with your roast beef when you serve. And then, of course, you have to have the gravy.
It's almost like the consistency of a bread kind of thing.
Yeah, it's basically a bread. It's a bread and it's warm and it's really really tasty. We've had it for Christmas my whole life. I think my mom had it for Christmas when she was growing up. So it's just sort of like that thing that you get once a year that you just look forward to. And
You know what, Reese? You throw a stick or two of butter in there, and it sounds like something Paula Deen would make.
Oh, totally. She would be game with this recipe. She'd probably be so excited. She makes some great stuff, but as Travis said, it's a lot of it's a heart attack on a plate, for sure.
Yes.
So special treats. You know, it's the holidays. I've been working out hard at the gym, so I feel like I can have a little extra treat there. and for the last, you just make a gravy. And this is where you actually want to take out the drippings from the pan. And you just leave kind of the brown bits at the bottom of your pan. And then you season it with salt and pepper. And you put it over low heat and you add your beef stock. And you just bring it to a boil and let it kind of hang out. You let it boil and then reduce the heat. And then it'll kind of reduce down. And that goes with your roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
So you put the gravy over the pudding too?
You can. Oh, yeah. Well, in the Copper household, especially my sister Lindsay, loves gravy. So you don't get in her way when it's gravy. So she has her own little dish. And then we have the dish for the rest of the family. So.
Oh, my God.
You get your own gravy.
Yeah,
I like
know. She'll be embarrassed. I know. She'll be totally embarrassed that I said that on the radio. But
I love it.
It's true. You don't get in the way of her and her gravy. So she has her own little dish, and we have the rest of the family. So
I want a straw for my gravy.
This was not a healthy recipe. I promise next month we'll go back on the healthy, yummy recipe. But this year I wanted to.
Well, you know, it's that unhealthy time of year, Reese. It's the time when we
exactly.
all get fat. Right.
You got it. We'll go healthy again. But I wanted to share with everyone a little bit what we do for Christmas at the Kofler household. So.
Well, there you go. That sounds terrific.
I would appreciate it if you would send Mama Kay over to my house for the holidays, because I have so much family coming in and they are all carnivores. I mean, they don't even know what a vegetable is. So if she could come over and make this for my brothers and my dad, that'd be great.
Perfect. Oh, this is great. I'm sure Mama Kay, we could rent her out. She is the director of hospitality here at Maple Crest Farm. So whenever there's an event, we call Mama Kay, and out she comes, and she brings flowers and trays, and it's wonderful. So without her, we would not have the hospitality that we have here at Maple Crest Farm. That's for
it's
sure.
Mama Kay's catering service. I love
yes,
it.
And she
is
known.
She's good.
Mama Kay is known countrywide in the dressage circles for having the for definitely being the entertainer and the coordinator. So I can see that. Now, I wanted to make a note here, Jennifer, that it is a month after we talked to Reese the last time. That's about a month, yeah. And we still haven't gotten our invitation to come over for dinner at our farm.
I know. Glenn, don't you worry. Jennifer and Glenn, we are have you out. Don't you worry. This holiday
season, we're gonna do, Glenn.
I promise.
We're going to fix this. We're going to call Papa John's Pizza and have it delivered to Reese's house. And at just the right time, we're just going to show up.
I think it's great. Well, I can actually make something. Don't you worry. I've got to now kind of show you that I can cook, not just talk about it. And, we need to have you guys out for sure. And Glenn, I'm gonna pick the coldest night, and then see if you want to do night check with me. I think that sounds great.
I will be there right outside you, Reese. I will be there with you.
It is going to be 10 degrees tonight. Yes, I'm going to ask Glenn to come and do night check with me.
I'll be there. I'll be there right beside you, Reese. Done that a few times before.
I love it.
Well, now you're heading off to the USDF convention, aren't you?
I actually am not going to go this year. I would love to. It's just one of those. I'm more on a lot of USDF committees than I am a USDF committee. So I don't have to go for any meetings, and I just decided I would stick around this year and not head down there. But I'm sure it's going to be great, and I can't wait to hear all the things that come out of the convention.
Well, then you do have time to invite us out then.
I know, see? I know. I've got my Christmas tree up. I know, but I really, don't you worry. No, actually, we love you guys, and we can't wait to have you out for sure. And show off the farm and show you what we're doing here.
Well, Arisa, I have a question for you. Not talking about Glenn coming over and eating at your house. I want to know if you've ever done this, because I did something really, really stupid. Okay, not the brightest idea that I've ever had. I'm actually taking a horse into a dressage show this weekend. It's his first show ever, so we're going to do training level 1 and training level 3. And I picked those two because training level 3 doesn't have the long walk that it has, and he's a little bit of a tense horse, and he jigs a little bit. So I picked 1 and 3. So for the past couple months, I've been practicing these tests, getting this horse going, making him, moving him along, learning the tests. And what happens on December? What happens on December 1st?
Oh,
yep.
I know. We have a new set of tests. And in the horse shows, we have the little show here this weekend as well. All the tests have changed. So I don't even have a copy of all the tests yet. I've been goodness for the internet, and I'm telling everyone, like, you have to go online and get your tests, because they're all new. They are all new. So it'll be good for everyone. And, I think it's a good thing they change the tests. I think, the test committees go back and look at the positive and negative things from the tests. They're going to make some adjustments, and, they changed different. Again, I haven't really looked at it, really studied them, but I know that, some tests they took out the test 4 in a couple levels and that type of thing.
Yeah, why?
So
Why did they take out four? And I think it was training level and first level. There's no test four now.
There's no test four. Well, it was always at third level, there was only three tests. In fourth level, there were only three tests. So I'm not sure if they just wanted to kind of bring it all together a little bit more. I don't know. I like having four tests, but a lot of times there's three-day horse shows. So I think they think that maybe you'll ride one, two, and three at the horse shows. So it'll be interesting to see. It was very interesting when Casper and I did the Grand Prix the first year. They changed the test. And what was great for me is it was my first year riding him. This was 2 years ago. My first year riding and competing internationally. And so it leveled the playing field for me because all the tests, everyone had to ride the new test. So that was the year that Anki, forgot her rein back. And, so it sort of leveled the playing field a little bit, which was good. And then the horses had to adjust, especially the ones that had been at Grand Prix or at training level. They have to kind of, readjust to the new test. So, I think it's a good thing. And it'll be interesting to see how they do. I do hear that stretchy circles in training level a lot.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. It's gonna be that's gonna be tricky with a young horse for sure. I have several that scares me because of course we don't want them to stretch, but a young tense horse at a horse show, getting them to stretch is quite a challenge for sure.
Yeah, here you are on this young, tense horse in their first show, and they go, drop the reins and let him just trot around.
Yeah. You're like, okay, sure. Yeah, I will. That's going to go well for me. Yeah, so we've all been there. We really have. And, I take a young horse, and it's like, oh, goodness. The best comment I ever got in that stretch circle was, rider released reins, horse did not stretch.
Yeah, no kidding. But that's better than rider released reins and horse jumped out of the arena.
Exactly. Yes, we stayed in the ring. That particular horse, it was a little bit, everyone was definitely curious to see how that was going to go for me.
Well,
but we've all been there.
Good. Okay, so I'm not the only one. Well, I could talk to you all day long. We'll have to talk about this after the show because we're not out of time, but... But it has been a great talking to you. It is Reese Koffler Stanfield, Cooking with Reese, and we will have her her recipe for Yorkshire pudding and roast. We're going to have that up online at horsesinthemorning.com after the show. Thanks so much, Reese.
Thank you, Reese. I'm looking forward to the invite.
I know, God, don't worry. Bye.
Bye. Well, our sponsor this half hour is EasySignsOnline.com. And with the holidays approaching fast, it is time to start thinking about unique gifts this year for that special someone. And an affordable and durable personalized sign is a gift that will be appreciated for many years to come. So you can visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options, and you see all the pricing up front, which on other sign websites, let me tell you from experience, they don't give you the price up front. You have to talk to somebody, and then it's a salesperson. Well, they don't do that. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, farm entrance signs, they have all of your sign needs covered. So you've got a sign to suit everyone's budget, and gift giving has never been so easy and fun. This week's special is 10% off all listed prices and free shipping. So plan your shopping now. Take advantage of the special offer today. That's EasySignsOnline.com. And that is what my husband and I are giving to each other this year, Glenn. We ordered a farm sign on EasySignsOnline.com, and we're splitting the cost of our huge brand new farm sign. It's going to say Flyover Farms, and I'm so excited about it.
So did you finally get it ordered? You got it ordered? You got the design down and you like it?
I got it all done. I talked to him yesterday, and they are going to start making it right now. And he said that they will rush it to try to get it here by Christmas because I really want to have the farm sign out front before my family gets here because then it will totally look legit. So he's working really hard on it, and Wayne is just a super nice guy, and I got a little confused during it, Glenn, and I ended up calling him, and he walked me through the whole thing because I had my little logo I wanted to put on it, and I sent him all these different things, and he really kind of was really patient with me and went through every kind of step. So if, even if you don't understand, the very easy computer sign ordering process, he will actually walk you through it, thank goodness.
Well, good. I'm glad you got it ordered. I can't wait to see it, a picture of it out in front of your farm. That'll be fun to see. Well, speaking of pictures, we're talking about next the ultimate Christmas gift. This is the ultimate Christmas gift for the equestrian out there, the horse lover. And we have a guest that's going to be on with us by the name of Bill Justice. Bill is with Justice Real Estate, and that might give you a little bit of a clue as to what we've been teasing you about here for 2 days. And I just posted on Facebook, too, if you're sitting at your computer and you want to follow along and take a look at the pictures and the things that we're going to be talking about, then you can do that. Just go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and you'll see the link there. You can just click on it and follow along with us. Well, hi, Bill from Justice Real Estate. How are you?
Good morning and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you coming on short notice. We came up with this idea to do the Ultimate Horse Lover's Christmas Gift, and to be honest, I think we picked correctly. There's not another one out there that kind of matches this. So tell us, what is the ultimate Christmas gift for the horse lover in the world?
Well, Glenn, we basically market this property as a escape to your own personal oasis. I mean, it has all the attributes that a person would want to live in. The location is tremendous, at the corner of Paris Pike and Ironworks, which is the start of the Fifth Avenue of the horse industry. And it's featured, if you want me to go in and describe what the property has, I'd be more than happy to.
Let's tell everybody what we're talking about is called Black Diamond Farm.
Black Diamond. It was named Black Diamond. It was a coal broker who used to be a basketball player from Moorhead, Kentucky, and he was in the coal business. So, in Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky particularly, hence the name Black Diamond. And the centerpiece, of course, is a 17,000 square foot manor home. Tremendous landscaping around it. It's has an elevator from the lower level all the way to the second level. Beautiful, intricate woodwork and landscaping that's just absolutely unparalleled. The other feature is a 13,000 square foot indoor pool house. It has the pool as well as guest facilities in the pool house. Brick sidewalks meander all the way through the first part of the farm. And at the rear of the farm that adjoins the famous Spendthrift and famous Walmack farm is a 20-stall horse barn. So it also offers a wonderful place to live, as well as you can run your horse facilities there very easily.
Well, let's talk about the house. We'll start with the house.
Okay.
This thing is unfreaking believable. When we looked, I said, Jamie, you got to look at the pictures of the bedroom. And Jamie's reaction was?
Oh, my gosh, you would never get any sleep. There's so many windows. It is so beautiful and ornate. I would be up all night, the fireplace going, the windows open, looking out over my horse farm. There's so many things that I would do, Bill, with this property.
you changed that sign from Black Diamond to Flyover real fast, wouldn't you, Jamie, if that was your Christmas present?
Oh, you bet I would, Bill. I would do it in a second. This place is phenomenal. And what got me was being such a, having formerly lived in Lexington and being such a fan of the horses and the racehorse, on all sides of you, you have the names. You've got Elmendorf Farm. You've got Gainesway Farm next to you. You got Walmack and Spendthrift surrounding your property. It is what a class to be in. Oh, I could do it. Let's move.
Yeah, when the home was originally built, it adjoins a little place called Cottage in the Woods, which is a little darling place in itself. And they broke off a 17-acre lot, Jamie and Glenn. And then when Mr. Sargent purchased the property, he bought the additional land, which then made it, a complete horse operation.
Well, you know, and you told me, it was funny, you told me on the phone the other day, you said, well, it's not really a big horse farm. It's only got 20 stalls. I think I can handle that. You know what? If you can afford to buy this, then probably you can build a few more stalls if you'd like.
You got plenty of room to do it, Glenn.
Yeah, 63 acres. Wow.
I got to tell you, you know, we talk about the new term in real estate now is man cave. Every guy, for some reason, wants his man room, and they're starting to call a man cave. This thing, and you know what I'm going to say, this thing has the ultimate man cave. Oh, my God, the bar. I don't know what that room's called. It looks like a bar room. But
We call it the pub.
Oh,
the pub is dark cherry wood, granite. There's a wine cellar down there in that lower level with a sipping room. And then at the other end of the pub is your spa, your steam shower and your sauna and your media room. So, I mean, the lower level is just incomparable. I could live down there, Glenn.
I think all of us could. We could certainly hide from the kids down there, that's for sure. And then the pool. You sort of talked about the pool, but you really didn't give it justice. This pool would make most hotels jealous.
It would make most hotels jealous. You have to understand, I mean, he was a very much of a family man and a businessman. So, I mean, this has 72, just in the pool area, 72 retractable skylights to give you an idea of how large it is. It would. And then the inside of that is a his and her complete baths, complete kitchen, and guest suites above. I mean, it's just tremendous and obviously a tremendous value for somebody who wants to buy their husband or wife or me a Christmas present.
Yeah, and that's the deal. Is the reason we have you on, Bill, is, you know, we're talking ultimate Christmas gifts today. And, you know, really, you mentioned the value of this place, and it is such a bargain. You know, any of us would be lucky to just head out there and tour it. But, you know, you can really buy it for a good price. It was $14 million, and now it's only $6 million. So we could do it.
You could do it. You could do it. It's actually assessed for $11 million from the tax assessor's office. The bank owns the property now, and it's getting more activity, so maybe somebody will be happy for Christmas anyway. But it is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous value.
Can you imagine what the taxes are every year on this property?
Well, they're going to go down because it's assessed at 11, and somebody's going to purchase for less than $6 million. So they'll go down.
All right, yeah, so they're affordable.
Tell us,
that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, right, exactly. Tell us a little bit about Justice, too, because, you know, the big horse farms around here in Lexington that are for sale, you're going to see your sign there. You're the one that is selling the major properties in this area. And, you know, we just look at, of course, those of us that live here and drive around the area, look at these properties and go, oh, my, you just say, oh, my God, a lot.
Well, I started the company in 1980, so this is my 30-year anniversary. And I have four agents that are all equine involved and 2.5 secretaries. But we probably have, Glenn and Jamie, probably 65% of the market share. We've handled most of the large farms in central Kentucky, and we're going to continue to do so for a while. It's a very, very special place. We're very involved with the community and the horse industry. I own horses. I race horses. And we just love it here. And Justice Real Estate has been a landmark here for a long time.
Now, well, you mentioned that you're involved in all the horse sales and most of the properties around, Bill. I have a question. Of all of the places that you have been in and you have toured and you have sold and you have taken as clients, what is the ultimate place?
Black Diamond, of course, today.
He's a salesman.
Yeah, there's a good answer.
Other than Black Diamond.
Well, I mean, the uniqueness of central Kentucky, I mean, it's hard for me to say, you know, which is the ultimate. But, you know, the one that took my breath away was Alapa Farm. I mean, all the stonework and they had stone barns and log running sheds. And it's the epitome of what a nursery was called. Right? So it is a beautiful, beautiful farm. But they're all over you. The great thing about it is there's a seat for every bottom, as we like to say so.
Well, and I noticed that you have a somewhat famous farm that people have heard of in the horse world that's in Virginia right now for sale as well, and that's Walnut Hall over there.
Well, we, you know, our scope is, we got enough on our plate here in central Kentucky in these economic times as they are, but we reach a broad spectrum of people from all over the world through our website and through our name. And they had asked me to try to help them, and we did it as a favor for some friends to see how it would work out. I mean, our expertise, I went to visit it in September. It's a lovely, lovely farm. But our expertise is in central Kentucky, the seven counties around central Kentucky. But, you know, we try to help friends and clients wherever they may be, and this was an experiment, and it's getting some activity on our website.
You talked about this one over here, that Black Diamond, you know, wasn't the biggest horse operation. Walnut Hall is. I mean, you're talking 405 acres. There are, there's five or six horse farms in that one, if I remember right. And you know, just dirt, there's like fields galore and a dirt track. And, you know, it's just one of those ultimate horse places as well.
That is true. And our farms, are standard or average horse farm is probably 175 acres here. But, you know, many, especially with the show horses and the hunter jumpers, a lot of farms are on 10 and 20 acres today. So we go from the small farms to the large commercial operations, and our knowledge of it is in depth.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being on. By the way, Walnut Hall, you can pick that up a little tiny bit cheaper than you can Black Diamond for a mere $5.4 million. But you got a lot more acres, so you're getting more for value for your money over there in Middleburg, Virginia. Thank you so much, Bill. We appreciate you being on, and we hope that you get both sold before Christmas.
I do. I need Christmas. Mama needs some shoes, and everybody could... If they would, visit our website at justicerealestate.com and see our inventory of listings that we do have available today.
I'm shopping right now.
All right,
thank
you, Bill. We appreciate you being on.
Lynn and Jamie, Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas.
All right, that was Bill Justice from Justice Real Estate. And as he said, you can visit at justicerealestate.com. And I also put a link on our Facebook page to the particular farm that we were talking about, which is already getting comments. Katie says, that would do. If it comes with the baby grand at the one photo, that would cover my Christmas shopping, since that's what I'm trying to scrape together money for to get my husband this year. Thankfully, his hobbies don't eat. But, you know, but a baby grand, that's not a cheap Christmas gift either.
It is not. I am looking at these places. Oh, my gosh. This is ostentatious living at its best. And if you want an ultimate Christmas gift, just go to Justice Real Estate and look at these. I mean, boy, the big plantation, Houstondale and Bourbon, Kentucky, that's only $2.75
million. Yeah, there are some less expensive ones.
Yeah.
And Jennifer, didn't you always have your eye on Hurricane Hall or...
I don't know if Hurricane Hall is still on the market or not, but that was real high on my list. Yeah, I really like Hurricane Hall.
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough to tour, and I was kind of wondering if you would say Gainsborough Farms, because Gainsborough is the one that the Sheikhs own, and it has inside all the breeding sheds, which is obviously where the stallions go, they have stained glass up in the, like, above the barn doors, huge stained glass of the stallion that breeds in that shed. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? That was the most ridiculous one I ever saw. But, yeah, this is definitely fun to go shopping. And what we want to do is we want to hear it now. It doesn't have to be a $4 million property. It could be a trip around the globe, whatever. What is your ultimate Christmas gift that, you know, in your... maybe probably never going to get it, but you could dream big. What is your ultimate Christmas gift as a horse person? 347-637-3238. I'm dying to know.
Jamie, I have mine picked out, and we'll get to ours after the news here, but I do have mine picked out. I have it all picked
okay.
out.
Okay. Me too.
Exactly what it's very specific. Mine is very specific. So and did you share yours yet?
No, I haven't told you yet.
And I don't know what Jennifer's is yet either. So we'll do all of those after we get done with the news here today. We'll be back with more. We want your calls, 347-637-3238. Give us a call today, and we'll also share the horse husband list that one of our listeners put together that I think really wraps up yesterday into a couple of paragraphs. I thought that she did a pretty good job with it. So here's Chris with the today's news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. The host nation scooped all the medals in the Young Riders Division at the FEI Americas Jumping Championship in Caracas, Venezuela last weekend. The National Federation of Venezuela has approximately 350 athletes with 460 horses. However, Chile claimed the gold in the Junior Championship, and Colombia came out on top in the pre-juniors, and Ecuador topped the podium in the children's section. The 2010 championships were staged at the Escuela de Equitación Negro Primero in Caracas, Venezuela, and 10 nations participated in 19 competitions. These championships were previously held in Bogota, Colombia in 2009, and prior to that in Caracas in 2007 and Buenos Aires, Argentina in 2006. The Venezuelan jumping team competed at the World Championship level for the first time during the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games this year, when Pablo Barrios finished 29th. An autistic child has found an unlikely new partner and a ray of sunshine for the family when he connected with horses following a visit to Texas with Rupert Isaacson and his son Rowan, who was the subject of the film The Horse Boy. Grant and Greta Hayes have two sons, Jack, 6, and Dylan, 2, both severely autistic and who very rarely speak. But once Jack spent time with horses, it has transformed his life and that of his parents, too, who have now relocated from Los Angeles to Texas so that the children can be around horses. The inspiration for Jack is an ex-racehorse, Spot the Diplomat, and Jack shows no fear as he plays around the thoroughbred. Spot the Diplomat ran 41 races in his career, winning 7 and being placed in another 14. Horses considered as Gypsy Cob, Gypsy Vanna, and other similar types are now eligible for registration with the Pinto Horse Association of America. Relaxing the rules on draft characteristics, the PTHA is offering a new classification of equines. According to the new rules, horses showing feathers on their legs are now acceptable as long as they are registered with an approved outcross breed association as determined by the PTHA rulebook and meet the standard color requirements for horses. These horses will be classified as utility and will show only with other utility horses and not other types of pintos. Classes for these flashy equines will be available in all of the PTHA established disciplines for horses, including English and Western riding, color, halter, and driving. Approved outcross breeds include Gypsy Cob and Drum Horse Association, the Gypsy Horse Association, the Gypsy Horse Registry of America, the Gypsy Vanna Horse Society, the Gypsy Cob Society of Ireland, and the Gypsy Cob Society of the United Kingdom. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning. Out.
appropriate song if you want to get out of the doghouse. That's Marianne Kennedy in Doghouse. We are going to talk about right now the ultimate Christmas gifts. Now, I have one lined up. Glenn, do you have an ultimate Christmas gift lined up? And Jennifer does too?
Yes, we do. We're ready.
I got one.
Okay, so if I were to have an ultimate Christmas gift, and you can call us at 347-637-3238, maybe we'll give you some ideas of how you can spend your significant other's money. And what I would like to do is we board a plane, and we go to Spain. And what we do is we tour all of the different Andalusian farms that are in Spain. And what you can do is you can go to AndalusianImports.com or Equus-Olay.com, but they don't have anything listed right now. But AndalusianImports.com. And I would like to go over, get an Andalusian stallion. And if you go to AndalusianImports.com, on the left side it'll say stallions. Click on stallions, and I would like the second one down. His name is Balongo, and he is the high school champion of Spain. Now, of course, they call it Campeón de España de Alta Escuela. And what that means is he's a high school champion. And high school for Andalusians is to be able to do the airs of, you know, some of the airs, but Piaf, Passage, Spanish Walk, all of the high school movements, lateral work. It's unbelievable. And this horse is, he's the one, Glenn. I found him. He's the one.
I see him. You know, we do have the same taste. This was, which one was this again? It was the,
AndalusianImports.com. Click on stallions.
Down there.
And then if for some reason he's not the one, then Arcaro will do. I'll also be interested in Attila, who's a little bit further down. Oh, my gosh. And I can get Attila for only 27,000 euros plus exportation cost, and that's only about $50,000 plus exportation cost.
So do you prefer the black or the gray?
You know what? In my little girl fantasy, it's a big white gray Andalusian stallion. So, of course, Bailongo's price is not up there, but I'm sure it's very affordable.
You know that. You know, when you look at these prices for what they aren't that bad.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we're talking 27,000 euro, 33,000 euro. It's cheaper than Black Diamond Farm.
Yeah, you know what? I could tell Chad that, too. I can say, you know what, compared to other things, this is a bargain.
That's right. So now would you just buy one or would you bring two home? You're not going to be greedy?
Well, I'm not going to be greedy, Glenn. You know, it just one Spanish Andalusian stallion of mine will do. You know, I am smart enough to know that, you know, if I'm still going to be living here in Phoenix, it might be better to have a different color because, you know, gray horses in the hot sun, not a great idea. So I will go ahead and take Attila on the bottom. That's fine. I'll take him, you know, because I'm a giver. I will take that Spanish Andalusian.
Well, you know, and the manes and tails on the Andalusians are just incredible. They have that curly hair, which is really cool.
It's just like been one of those fantasies of mine since a little girl is that we go over to Spain and import a stallion. They're so calm. Andalusians have the best personalities. And so the stallions that I've met aren't even stud-like. It's not like you're going to a Kentucky thoroughbred farm and it's, you know, going to attack you.
Right.
These guys are so calm and nice and sweet. And in my fantasy, he's my best friend. And we go riding together and we do lots of dressage and it's very fun.
Well, there you go. There's Jamie's. If you would like to buy her a gift, just send me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com and I'll make sure I get her husband's information for you and we can get that all set up.
Yeah,
that won't
be
a problem at all. All right, Jennifer, I've been dying to know what's yours. You didn't clue me in. You were holding out on me.
Well, the link is for OakleyHorseBoxes.com.
Okay.
Let me on that. I'm going there. Oakley Horse Boxes. It's Oak like the tree. L-E-Y. HorseBoxes.com. Okay.
That's the one. Now, this happens to be a company out of the UK, because there really aren't any manufacturers here in the USA making these kinds of things. But it's basically an RV for your horse.
Oh, my gosh. These are ridiculous. You put horses in these things?
Yeah. And this is a special, this is the ultimate gift that obviously it's never going to happen. It's one of those things. But this has fries with it. So you have to go to, the best place to find stuff is actually if you go to the for sale page.
Yeah, I'm there. Yep.
Weird. And you see lots and lots and lots of the really fancy ones. And they even have one place where you can pick out your colors. You can get really cool paint jobs. They make them in pink, for goodness sake. but I want
now,
the big one.
Describe what this looks like on the outside, Jennifer, because this is not your average horse box or lorry, as they call them over there. This is not like a van.
No, it looks like a, what are they, is it class
It looks
C,
like a Rockstar tour bus.
Yeah, it looks like a tour
bus.
Yeah,
exactly. It looks like a Rockstar tour bus.
It's
That's exactly right.
And it has slide outs like a Rockstar tour bus. But depending on how many stalls you have in it, the front is living quarters. And in one of those links in there, you can, you know, it's all the tweaked out, decked out, really drop-dead gorgeous stuff you would associate with a fancy RV. You can have granite countertops and refrigerators and stoves and showers and the whole nine yards. And that's in the front. And then the back portion is a horse van. And it's a really nice horse van. It's got really nice high-tech materials and stuff. And if I remember right, this one, the cab folds out. So the whole cab comes off the front. It's really cool. But then they make a little mini-me. And on the top banner, if you go to Super Sport 2 and click on that, they make a little mini-me version for Quick Trip.
Oh, they do.
Isn't that the coolest little thing?
Now, I'm looking at one here, Jennifer, and unfortunately I have my conversion. They've got it listed at 185,000 pounds, which, you know, really is only $288,000. So you should get two.
Well, yeah, I want to get the big one and I want to get the little one. I want to get two because the big one's for the big trips, you know, and then the little sporty two version is for the quick trips down to Masterson Station for cross-country schooling. And
sure,
it's built on a van chassis. It's on a Renault van chassis. And I saw them at WEG, actually, and I thought, oh, these are the niftiest design because the horse doesn't ever have to back up. They walk in forwards, and they leave forwards.
Nice.
I'm loving
well,
it.
Glenn,
and you never have to hitch up your freaking truck. I hate doing that. You just hop in the cab
You know what? It probably costs us more to have it shipped over than we'd pay to buy the thing.
That's okay.
Details, Glenn. Don't get mired in the details.
And I can get a cool paint job.
I think pink is good. Glenn, what is your ultimate Christmas gift so you can inform Jennifer of what she's going to be shopping for?
Well, mine's a heck of a lot cheaper than both of yours, actually. So I feel like I am. For the first time in my life, I feel like I... Well, it's probably not. Now, you know, I take that back. It's not cheaper. I was just dreaming about it being cheaper. So the first, mine's a multi-part because you need parts to make this work. So you guys know I'm a driver. I love driving. Well, I found a carriage that I really liked. It's a Voiture V2V, which is the one that you see for weddings all the time. It's the white wedding carriage with the red plush interior. And, you know, it has the driver sit up front and all of that. I've always wanted one of those. And I want white because... along with the Christmas gift, I would like to have four fell ponies to pull it. So I want a four-in-hand team of fell ponies with my white vis-a-vis. Now, the vis-a-vis is rather cheap. It's $5,500. That's not bad at all. And they'll even work out the shipping arrangements from Virginia. So I'm sure they will.
That's nice.
And this one's really nice. It has white with burgundy velveteen interior, and it has the full fifth wheel with brakes and shafts and the whole thing. So it'll be all set up for my ponies. Now, the problem is, fell ponies are kind of rare, and they're little black
ponies. What is a fell pony? Yeah.
Well, a fell pony is a little black pony that looks like a mini Frisian. It has the hair like a mini Frisian. Really does look like you shrunk a Frisian.
And oh, my gosh, yeah, I just Googled it. It looks, it is a Frisian.
Yeah, it is, exactly. And, you know, they're cute as the Dickens. Can you imagine, picture in your mind, four of these fell ponies pulling that white vis-a-vis. How cool would that be? And the other thing the fell ponies are known for, it makes the ones you were just talking about, the Andalusians, look like they don't have any curl at all. The fell pony's hair is curly and it is so cool looking, and I just can imagine it pulling the carriage. That's it. You're right, Jennifer, four fell ponies probably eat more than one. Well, I don't know, horse box can be pretty expensive to put gas in. So,
yeah,
but I'm sticking.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. If you get your carriage, we're going to have a really tweaked out horse box because it's going to have to carry the carriage and the ponies. And we're going to have to go with that really big size one that was $500,000 that was on the, on a different page. Yeah.
Hey, I got to say, Jamie, Aubrey just posted, our winner actually from yesterday, just posted on Facebook and said, hey, Jamie, make enough noise about that pre-stallion and that guinea pig won't seem like such a bad present.
Man, what a good idea. Yeah, I want a guinea pig and a Spanish Andalusian. So which one is going to be the easier? I mean, seriously.
Now, have you gotten anywhere with the guinea pig? We haven't had a guinea pig update.
No, guinea pig is the big no. He keeps saying no. It's like I say, hey, honey, get, and he, no. Like, I can't even finish the word, guinea pig. So, not getting anywhere. So maybe if I think that's good, if I work the Spanish Andalusian from Spain, which he knows full well about also, he knew what he was getting into, then maybe the guinea pig that'll happen.
You can get a Spanish guinea pig.
This is a funny one, too. Karen, KPP, our friends over there at Kentucky Performance Products, our sponsor here on Fridays, said the ultimate gift for a horse person, and I think Jennifer mentioned this earlier in the day, ultimate gift for a horse person, housekeeper for a year, the gift that keeps on giving. Just think how much more time you would be able to spend with your horse.
I'm liking that.
You mean she doesn't have a housekeeper? You don't have a housekeeper already? I do. No, just kidding.
Hey, Curtis said on Facebook about the Black Diamond Farm. Remember Curtis from yesterday? Said, I was going to get this, but my wife would rather live in Florida. At least that's what I keep telling her.
Yeah.
And I got to give a shout out. We had a new listener today that posted on Facebook, Estella. She says, first time listener and enjoying the program very much. I've had horses before, but now I ride mules. I live in the western slope of Colorado. Do you ever have discussions on mules? Well, we did talk about mules yesterday, actually. Not that I would stop listening, but it's always nice for me to hear from other people that deal with mules. And I think Jennifer is trying to get a mule show set up, too. So,
yes, that's actually in the works. How fortuitous.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, so keep listening. You're going to hear about mules.
Well, and I want to mention, too, that, you know, I live in this little equestrian community, and everybody has 2 to 3 acre farms, and my next-door neighbor has mules. And I know nothing about mules, so I want that show to get set up so I can learn a little bit about what's going on next door and the noises that these things make. Oh, my gosh, you would think they're dying. Chad is like, what is that over there? So, yeah, I definitely want to do a show about mules so I can relate a little bit to my next door neighbor who, it's interesting over there.
There you go.
Hey, I had a couple of news stories that I wanted to chat about today that I put together. Yeah, I was just reading around the news yesterday and I found a couple interesting things. First of all, did you guys take a guess at which state you think has the that was just voted the top for trails in America? So, you know, which state has the most trails? And they're talking all different kinds of trails, including horse trails. Which state do you think it would be?
I think of Oregon being a very trail-oriented place.
Okay,
see,
I'm going to guess Colorado.
Yeah, see, I would have thought Colorado or one of those states out there, Wyoming even, maybe. I was really surprised that the winner there, and I know we have listeners in that state, is Minnesota.
Wait, Minnesota?
Yeah, listen to this. They have 600 miles of paved trails. They have 1,000 miles of equestrian trails, 1,300 miles of cross-country skiing trails, 1,000 miles of off-highway vehicle trails. That'd be four-wheelers and stuff, 4,400 miles of water trails, and I'm not quite sure what that is. I don't know what a water trail is, but 1,000 miles of snowmobile trails and several thousand miles of hiking trails. So that's why they won. Minnesota is the trail capital of the country here.
Huh.
Okay. Now one month of the year it's not snowing
exactly.
There, they can really use them.
Exactly. I don't know that they take time allowed into account there, but they could probably use the skiing trails during that time. And then there were a couple stories around the internet about horse rescues that I thought were interesting. First of all, there was a horse speaking of Colorado, that got stuck in a drain pipe. Basically, he says here, a horse somehow got stuck in a concrete pipe Monday in Colorado. The animal was found with his front legs and head sticking out of the pipe. But thanks to a community-wide effort, the pipe was dug up out of the earth, laid on its side, and poor Pepsi was slowly pulled out. Owner Thomas Bristow said, Pepsi, yeah, I know. Owner Thomas Bristow said Pepsi took a while to get up, I bet, but eventually did, and now the 27-year-old horse is doing fine. So I don't know how he got into the drain pipe, but
was this like in the – is this like kind of that baby Jessica got stuck in the well kind of thing? I mean, was it there the whole time and they didn't cover it? You know, this good for the community to get this nice old 27-year-old horse out, but – why? They said that on the bottom of the article, it says the pipe's lid was stolen several years ago. Okay.
Oh, so
he must have
just fell in.
That?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. There's pretty much a big hole in the ground where your horse is. You probably should put a lid on it.
That's what made me kind of mad about this, but we should post that picture of them pulling him out on our webpage.
You know, the other story, too, was a horse had to be rescued by firefighters in England earlier today that was trapped in the door of his stables, and I'm assuming he had one of those half doors. So what happened was he got his legs over the front of the half doors and got stuck that way with his front legs over the front. Now, I've never seen that happen. We have had horses cast in their stalls and, you know, weird things. But having the front legs cut, and apparently they took the front door off and got the horse out, and it was fine. But so there's an odd one, too, that you don't hear about too often. That's almost as odd as having four chickens living behind the couch in your living room.
They know where to go when times get tough. There's a dog getting us. Mama, 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 help us.
Hey, we have a caller on here, and I think I know who this is, and it's very nice of her to call in. She must have been listening. Hi, Templeton Thompson. How are you?
I am fine and dandy. How y'all doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Good.
Oh, my gosh. This is a big moment for me, Glenn. Let me have this.
Oh.
This is...
Ah.
This is Templeton Thompson, the singer of what
is it? You're a rock star. Believe me, I've been checking you out, and I'm actually looking at your beautiful picture right now and getting to read more about you and what a celebrity you are.
Well, you are so sweet. I love, love, love that song, Girls and Horses. I've been listening to your CD for years, and I did want to tell you, this is totally random, but I'm going to gush because I'm a fan. Your song, when I was doing country music radio in Atlanta, Georgia, we had a clip of your song in my intro. Like, it would be like, and here's Jamie, and it was the little clip of you singing What Is It with Girls and Horses, because that was kind of part of my...
You're her. I know about that. Oh, my God. Are you serious? Because how do I know about this already? That is so cool. You're that girl. You're the host. Oh, my God.
You knew about that? You knew there's some radio show in Atlanta using your song?
Yes, and I feel like, let's see, did my amazingly dear cowgirl sister, Tess Vanetti, do you know her? Is that? Yes. I remember her saying something and how she's got this awesome friend in radio in Atlanta, and that is just too bizarre. Oh, my God. I'm so happy to meet you, and thank you. Jeez.
Oh, well, thank you for not suing me for using 5 seconds of your song.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm honored. Hey, gets it out there, and I'm an independent artist, and, you know, us indies do it all ourselves. So any help like that is a major gift, so thank you. I appreciate it a lot.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. Like I said, I've been listening for a while. So you're calling in while we're talking about ultimate Christmas gifts. Do you have an ultimate Christmas gift?
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, it just so happens that I do. Oh, my gosh. And I'm punchy, by the way, because I got up uber early. I just couldn't sleep. I was just so pumped about a whole lot of things and working on a lot of stuff, which kind of segues me into the Christmas gift we have. I'm so grateful. And I was just letting the AQHA know about it, too, on their Facebook page. My Mayor Jane, my rock star Mayor Jane, she is an official Briar Horses model. She's a limited edition, and she comes with our mini Christmas CD called Happy Ye Holidays, and she's in a special package at Tractor Supply Company stores across the country, and you can only get her at Tractor Supply Company stores and online at TSC. So I'm over the moon, excited and grateful.
Your horse is a Briar? Are you kidding me? That is like every little girl's dream.
I know. I still, and it's still just surreal to me, and I'm really grateful and really, 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 really blessed and really lucky, and it happened because of dreaming big, working hard, and having faith. So, you know, just really lucky girl, lucky cowgirl.
You know, if you could just be a little more positive, it would be great, you know.
Aww.
I mean, gosh.
Thank you. Well, I certainly have my moments, but, you know, I try to, like, if I'm having a moment, it's like, no, forget that. Grateful, gratitude, lucky, blessed, you know, grand scheme. I'm just really, really happy. I would say 98.5% of the time, and, you know, I'm also a human, and I have my moments. But then I look outside, and I look at my babies, and life, you know, it's all good. Anything could be messing with me, and I'm fine, as long as...
Well,
I'm seeing them, and there they are, right outside eating their round roll, munching on their hay.
Oh, that's cool. Well, Templeton, tell everybody where they can find your music before we let you go. But because, again, if you're a horse chick, we had Marianne Kennedy on, and Templeton Thompson is in the same vein. These girls, they know horses, and they write about them, and they sing about them. Beautiful, angelic voice. So tell everybody where they can go listen and find your music and get it as Christmas gifts.
Thank you so much. And I just listened to that interview, by the way, and it rocks. And Marianne's my neighbor, so we live about a mile and a half from each other. We never hardly see each other, but she, as a crow flies, I can see her house kind of through the trees, not really.
And what Templeton's talking about is our Thanksgiving Day show that we did a special hour with Marianne. And so you got a chance to listen to it?
I did. I listened to it last night. I was working really hard. I'm trying to promote our Happy Holidays Christmas song, the single, through radio. So I've been on the computer, kind of married to my laptop, copying and pasting radio program directors' names and emails and trying to promote like crazy. So, yeah, I listened to the
Good
whole
luck.
Thing, and it rocked. Thank you. It's fun.
We should mention that we're going to have you on for an hour doing the same thing for our Christmas special that will be played on Christmas Day here at Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And we'll have Templeton Thompson on with us, and I'm so looking forward to that. I said to Jennifer yesterday when you and I, we also did a Tack and Habit show that's going to be coming up. But
yes,
after I got off of that, with Helene and I and you, and we were there together for half an hour and had some fun, I went into Jennifer and I said, you know, you cannot get off a half an hour conversation with Templeton Thompson and not feel good about life. So,
thanks. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. And back at you. You guys are all so positive, and there's no reason we can't or shouldn't be. We have horses in our lives. So, hey, life rocks.
All right. That's
a beautiful thing.
And you can go ahead with your address.
Oh, TempletonThompson.com. Templeton, like the rat in Charlotte's Web. That's how you spell it. TempletonThompson.com. That's where you can find anything and everything you need to know about silly old me. So, you guys rock.
Well,
I don't want to take up your time.
Well, no problem. Thank you, Tempe. We appreciate you calling in this morning. What a pleasant surprise. And I guess you have made Jamie's day for sure.
Oh, thank you. Well, y'all have made mine, and I can't wait to meet you actually in person, Jamie. Can't wait for the Christmas deal we're going to do. You guys rock. Love and hugs. And the whole Planet Cowgirl herd is sending y'all love and light. And we will talk to you.
And we will play tomorrow morning to lead in the show, to start the show. We will play your Christmas special that you're trying to get out there.
Oh, man, you guys rock. I love y'all. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, Tempe.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, we have another caller on here that's a familiar voice that I think we know what she's calling about, and I'm going to try to get her on here. Hi, Sammy. Sam, how are you?
Kenny Glenn. It's very hard to, for an uptight English girl to follow Templeton Thompson, the Planet Cowgirl.
This is Samantha Clark, of course, my old co-host on the 2010 radio show. And Samantha did a
not
post.
Not that old.
Sorry about that. She did a post, and I assume this is what you're calling about. We were talking about this morning, and we wanted to talk about it on the air. You write now for Eventing Nation, which is a terrific blog about the eventing world that our friend John does, and Sandy's become a regular contributor to that. You did a post on Jonathan Padgett's Helmet Cam. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's a video. You have to go to Eventing Nation and watch this video. It's scary.
Well, we got some comments. Well, I originally did it because it was so cold here yesterday, and this is in New Zealand last weekend. They had their international one-day championships, and it's sunny and blue skies, so I was quite enjoying it. And you do definitely get the feeling that you're galloping around a nice three-star course. And he is going pretty fast, although one of the comments said that's because they use the wide-angle fisheye lens, which makes you feel like you're going a lot faster. Although I think he is going pretty fast because he did have a run out, and regardless, he only had 4.8 time penalties. But it's nice, and the course, you get to see a course in New Zealand, which who knows whether we'll do that in our lifetimes. I mean, I hope so,
right?
But you don't know. So it's interesting,
Samantha,
to see different courses. Yes.
Yeah, Samantha, I was watching this video. First of all, I was like, where is this? Because it is so beautiful, and there's so much galloping room. And this helmet cam, if you guys haven't ever seen a helmet cam, this is definitely one to get you started. I mean, obviously, Run Henny Run is very famous for his helmet cams. But this is amazing because it's like the first time I really felt like I was galloping on the horse, making the turn, jump, turn, jump, turn, gallop. It's phenomenal. But, oh, my gosh, it definitely takes your breath away. And I want to comment, in New Zealand, I guess, do they really – you gallop into a barn at one point. He flies into a barn and jumps out of the barn in a little hole cut on the other side of the wall. It is amazing. And Eventing Nation is one of my is my go-to website every day, eventingnation.com. It is a great blog, and there's a bunch of contributors
well done,
that write
David.
To it. I read it every morning. But if you don't go to this, Samantha, I'm so glad you're writing on this, because to find stuff like this, everybody has to see the gallop into the barn.
Well, I think the helmet cams are becoming more and more popular, but this is a particularly professionally done one, and that's interesting because it's so sunny and bright outside, and you definitely get the horse's perspective of going into the dark in the barn. And jumps like that are quite popular, especially at more advanced level, and it does, you definitely see the question it poses of going from, you know, the light to the dark and the shadows and things like that. And that's another thing you see. You can see the silhouette of Jock on his horse. You can see the shadow of him galloping along. The silhouette is beautiful. So it's a really fun video to watch. It's a completely different animal from the sort of slightly more amateur, rather more charming one of Run Henny Run, where you definitely hear the partnership of, you know, Peter, come on Henny, you know, Run Henny Run. And this is definitely a professional one, but it's definitely got its attraction, and it's definitely worth watching.
Well, it's funny, when Jennifer first watched it, when she started watching it, we were all watching it together this morning in the pre-show, and when she first watched it, she said, oh, my God, my horse wouldn't get past that herd of round bales, hay bales out in the field.
It's amazing how focused the horse is, isn't it? And you can, and funnily enough, in the summer, when I was walking one of the courses in England with an old friend of mine that we used to event together way back in the day, and we were talking about how we would have to completely retrain our advanced horses now because they're so used to locking on to these very narrow, skinny jumps that are narrower than those hay bales are, those round bales. And the horses these days are so used to seeing these skinnies and locking on and jumping them without thinking about it, whereas, you know, our old event horses would just run straight past them. They wouldn't know what to do with them.
I don't know what to do with them now, but...
You're an inventor, Jamie. You've never ridden the course like this, I assume.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let me just point out that, yes, I am an inventor, but I don't know. This looked harder to me than some of the Rolex questions that they have on the four-star course. I mean, there's one point, again, there's no horses spook at shadows on the ground, much less gallop into a dark barn and jump through a hole in the wall. But even some of the other ones, the skinnies and the V that they jump into down the hill and then into the water, I mean, it's definitely something that I would never, ever, ever want to try, ever.
I think it's nice, and you've got the feeling of the sort of relentless rhythm that you have to get when you're going, you know, that distance. And someone else made a comment. There were some comments. We actually got a comment from the guy who posted the video, which was nice. But someone else made the comment. It was a nice course that it was more open than a lot of the courses we see. And I think at Rolex and at badminton and a lot of the bigger courses that are now televised, they tend to build towards the television and in building jumps in clusters that are going to be on the cameras, and then you have a long galloping stretch and then more jumps in clusters. Whereas this was more evenly spaced, which was nicer for the horse, I think.
Yeah, I think that the helmet cam really makes you feel like you're actually riding it, so that was good enough for me. I'm cool. I did it.
I had two observations on it. One was, it gives you a feeling of how long a ride it is. I mean, it just you keep thinking it's going to end, and it just keeps going. And then, it, you know, toward three-quarter point, you really hear him breathe, the rider breathing hard. You hear Jock breathing hard, and you hear the horse breathing hard, and you realize that this truly is an endurance feat here. And then the jump that got me and really got Jennifer too when she was watching it is that slingshot jump. It looked like he was going to get nailed on that thing. The two
That's
sticking
the
out. Oh, I think that was. I saw that one coming and went, oh my God. That was a skinny, skinny. Well,
yeah,
Sam, we thank you for calling in. You're doing a great job over at Eventing Nation. You had a blog. You were out last, was it last weekend you were at that show?
Yep, I was down in Georgia for Thanksgiving, which sadly wasn't as warm as I thought it was going to be, but it was still fun. So
I got to tell you,
great.
I was so jealous to read your post about going to Pine Top Farms. It's just outside of Augusta, and that is my favorite eventing facility on the planet. Glenn, that owns the farm, is so nice. And, you know,
absolutely. Him and his wife were lovely, and what a beautiful facility.
Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. And what people you may not know, the Pine Top is in that kind of where Southern Pines in North Carolina is sand footing underneath the grass. This is, too. So the footing on cross country there, no matter if it rains or sun shining for months, it never gets hard. It never gets sloppy. The footing there is amazing, and they're really lucky to have that amazing farm that's been in their family for, I think, four or five generations. So it's an old family farm, and it's definitely a nice place to get away.
Definitely. Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Yep. Oh, cool. Sam, one question before we let you go. What's your ultimate Christmas gift?
I'd like Hamish and Dave in my stocking. They can come and warm me up.
Oh, my God. I'm going to fall off the ball.
We'll work on that. We'll work on that for you.
All right. Happy Christmas.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, you guys.
I think you flushed
your show after that.
Oh, my gosh. We should definitely end on that one. Thanks, Samantha. Samantha Clark from Eventing Nation, informally from the 2010 show with Glenn, once Hamish and Dave in her stocking. We want to thank all of our thank Templeton Thompson for calling in, Reese Kuffler Stanfield for being a part of the show. Also, we'd like to thank Bill Justice Real Estate for being a part of the show as well, and Samantha for calling in there at the end. We do appreciate it. You can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We're on Facebook. You're probably already on it right now, but it's Horses in the Morning. Just search for that. And, of course, Glenn will tweet every once in a while at Horse Radio.
Well, thank you. Oh, geez, she caught me on that one. And if you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, our affiliate website, or iTunes. You never need to miss an episode. We'll be back on Friday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. One of the entertainers, I'm not sure. We'll find out. We're going to be talking to somebody from Cavalia, which is set up out in California right now, so that should be a lot of fun, too. We have Liz from Equestrian Professional on with us. Well, I have to say, we had one post that I want to mention before we go here, and then we'll head on out. We had a post that some nice person, I don't have it right here right now, wrote that they love the show so much, but they were concerned that doing it every day like we do, Jamie, that we were going to get burnt out and go away. I go, no, sure,
what?
Everybody, we have a blast. This is the highlight of our day. We just love talking to you guys, and you really make the show, our listeners do, but we have the best job in the world. You know, I don't think we're going anywhere, are we?
I don't plan on going anywhere. As long as you keep this thing going, that'd be great. And everybody tell 100 friends. That'll keep us going.
Yeah. Challenge to everybody today. Post on your Facebook page. When you listen to the show, post on your Facebook page. Put a link back to our website at horsesinthemorning.com. Tell everybody to listen, whether it's on the live or the recorded. We always need to get our numbers up. Our sponsors really like that. So support our sponsors. Post on your Facebook page today. Help us out that way. That would be a Christmas gift to us. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody.